Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 111 this morning as we consider a thankful heart. Psalm 111. How does your morning go? Does it go something like this? You get up, you get your coffee started, you get your breakfast, you brush your teeth, then you go about your day, or maybe you do that in reverse order. You brush your teeth first and then do all the other stuff. And, you know, I guess it depends on where you are in your life, to be sure. Or maybe if you're like the little ones, you have to be reminded to brush your teeth. But all of the, how does that work for your house? Or maybe you're one of those really spiritual people who wake up immediately, pick up your Bible and pick up reading where you left off the day before, and spend your time in prayer before you do any of that stuff. Is that how you start your day? Or do you mix it up and everything's a little different? You know, none of these approaches to your morning are wrong, obviously. They're just different ways of doing things. But statistics show us that the average person gets up a half an hour before they leave for work. So there's really not a whole lot of time in there to do a lot of things that might be important. The average statistic shows that the average person gets up about 20 minutes before they come to church on Sunday morning. Now, obviously, they're not factoring in families with children, but that it's an interesting statistic for what it's worth. You know, what's the current cup of coffee now at Starbucks? $5? Okay, normal cup of coffee. So that and $3 will get you the statistics kind of thing, you know, that whole deal. But think about this a minute. The scriptures are constantly reminding us to think differently about our day. How would your day progress if you woke up in the morning and the first thing out of your mouth was, hallelujah? Now, I'm not saying we all need to become Pentecostal here, but that's the actual word for the phrase, praise the Lord. How would that set the tone for the day as you started to go off to work if you actually meant it? Not just saying it for rote, but you actually meant it. Or better yet, if you woke up on Sunday morning and said, praise the Lord, the first thing out of your mouth. Maybe you would actually look forward to giving thanks to the Lord with your whole heart in the company of the upright, not the uptight, but the upright, the congregation of the Lord. Sometimes changing routines are crucial. And that's what the psalmist wants to remember this morning, that praising the Lord is crucial for us. So read with me Psalm 111. Praise the Lord! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Pray with me. Father, this morning as we look at your word, we are comforted by the fact that you're constantly teaching us. Comes a point in every person's life where we figure we've learned it all. Whether you're 12 and you think that, or whether you're 68 and you think that. Reality is, we never do. And so, Father, you never give up on us. You think for us. You enable us to understand that there's an alternative to the way we think. And so, Father, we pray that you bless this time. You bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many of you celebrated Thanksgiving on Thursday? How many celebrated Thanksgiving on Friday? got to do both because it captures all the families in different ways in different places. Guess what? Next week, we get to start Advent. What is it about this time of year that seems to be the focus of what we do? Thanksgiving. Praising the Lord for His goodness. So that's why we focus on what the Scriptures are going to call us to focus on. Praising the Lord and giving thanks with our whole heart this morning as we enter into the Advent season next week, which is to be preparing us for the second coming of Christ. But all of that's wrapped around the concept of being thankful and praising the Lord. There's much for us to be thankful, much for us to be praising Him for. And we are reminded this time of year of all of that and much, much more. So as we consider this psalm and a thankful heart, we will see how important this first simple statement is. It's a statement of fact and a confession in verse 1. And then the psalmist redirects us because we often want to give thanks to God for what He's done. The psalmist says, no, first we need to give thanks to God for who He is in verses 2 through 4. And then we get to what God has done, is doing, and will do in verses 4 through 10. So we have all of this together in this little short psalm. So he begins with a simple declaration and a confession in verse 1. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. It would seem that the psalmist, and we see this phrase, praise the Lord, throughout the psalms. So it would seem that the psalmist, whether this is David, more than likely, but we know for sure it's the Lord giving these words. The psalmist wants to remind us that this is the appropriate attitude in all of life. Remember, Paul tells us in the New Testament, rejoice in the Lord always. So praise the Lord. I broke my leg. Praise the Lord. Life stinks. Praise the Lord. I won the lottery. That's easy. Well, definitely going to praise the Lord for that one, right? Especially since I don't ever play. But it would be something to really praise the Lord for. We're good about that. But we're not good about the other things. Woe is me, is our typical response. The Hebrew word hallelujah is a declarative statement, which speaks to the heart of a thankful-hearted person. Ask a cancer survivor how they're doing today. 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, I'm alive. And if they're a Christian, they're going to say, thank the Lord, I'm alive, or something to that effect. But it's not always that easy of an answer when you ask that person who's going through chemo treatment, how are you doing today? Or that family that buries that cancer survivor. It's not easy to praise the Lord or buries the cancer victim. It's not always easy to praise the Lord. And yet, that's what the Scriptures call us to do. The Bible doesn't give us many options. It constantly commands us to give thanks. It constantly commands us to rejoice in the Lord. Always is a big word to tell us that. It tells us we can grieve, but it says not to grieve as the world does without hope. Sometimes it seems a bit harsh, the Bible does, especially when we're in the midst of pain and struggle. It continues to remind us to praise the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord, that's the key, in the Lord. We claim that place. We claim that identity. We profess the faith, and yet we lack trust all too often. So the Bible continues to remind us, praise the Lord. It's hard. If it came out of my lips first thing in the morning, perhaps that might set the day off a little better. Perhaps the difficult things in life might seem better. I suspect that that would be the case. And I say I suspect that because obviously I don't always practice what I preach myself. I also suspect that if I woke up more often and more cheerful with that praise the Lord, I'd be able to do it without hesitation a whole lot more. For me, especially this time of year. This is, as you all know, I get a little melancholy this time of year, and I have to work a little harder at it. Most of it's my fault, because I don't have any real reason to be melancholy, given all the grace and wonderful thankful hearts that people are, as you look at me and the things that we've done together. And yet that melancholy still infects me this time of year, because I guess all too often I allow it to. But there is a sense where that's true of all of us. What is actually behind that Sunday smile of yours? What else is going on there? What else is going on there? Can you say, praise the Lord, genuinely? You know, it's been said that it's so easy for us to limit God, to look at our circumstances and think, that's just impossible. There's no way that can ever be fixed. There's no way that can ever work. We can't even imagine how the problem or trial can be solved. And so our anxiety builds for the lack of trust in the Lord. Yet God tells us to trust Him. He commands us to trust Him. What did He do? He gave us His Spirit so that we can trust Him. We profess and we confess that that's true. And yet He has to keep reminding us, oh, by the way, hallelujah. That's what's supposed to define your life. Praise the Lord. That's how you're to look at every event in life. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's no options here. Always. You just don't understand how tough my life is. No, if Jesus was talking to us, He would just say, no, I went to a cross. No, I don't understand how tough your life is. I died on a cross. But you just don't get it. So God commands us to trust Him for a future that we cannot see, that we cannot know, because it's not part of His revealed will to us. Something I have to remind myself every day during November and December. I don't know why it gets better in January. What is it about January? It's still just as murky and cold and yucky half the time. That's why I say it's in my head. But praising the Lord is what we're called to do, to wake up, praise the Lord, sets our attitude aright. And then we think about that confession, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Imagine saying that every day. Eventually you begin to believe it and do it. Not just privately, but publicly. In the company of the upright. I love the way God sees us. You know, we're constantly whining about our situation. We're constantly whining about our weaknesses. And how does God see us? The company of the upright. The righteous ones who live righteously. Upright is an active word in that sense. That's how He sees us. If we could just get a glimpse of that, it would be easy for us to say, praise the Lord! Hallelujah! For the day that we have. If we just get a glimpse, that faith of a mustard seed, a glimpse, we could do that. And it would affect our day-to-day, it would affect all those who come in contact with us, and just think about your ability to worship on Sunday morning. Wouldn't be a drudgery to come and be with God's people. Wouldn't be a duty. It would be a delight. Something you look forward to. As I said before, we often give thanks for the good things that God brings into our life. But the psalmist wants us to focus on who God is as well. So he gives us verses 2 through 4. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. You know, knowing God means more than just knowing about God. And we've been studying that in J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God. It's important that we focus on that. All the works of the Lord are great, for they bring him glory, but they define who he is. They're to bring his people to a place of recognition of who we are. He's God. We are not. Praise the Lord. Because look how well we do left to ourselves. Jim was reminding us that in Sunday school. If you're going to sit right here in my vision, Jim, you're going to get it every once in a while. He is focusing on his works are all about the redemption of his people. They are great because they cannot be duplicated by any person. When God shakes the nations, nobody's going to stop him. When God brings trials and afflictions, we do not remain the same because we're not meant to remain the same. With just a word, God created it. That's great. By the will of his love, he turns a heart of stone to a heart of flesh that delights in him and delights in one another. Greater his works, for they reflect, as I said, who he is. They are great. They are good. They are magnificent, as he is sovereign. Works that may be studied to ad nauseum to those who delight in him. In other words, they don't make sense. Nobody wants to study his word unless they are his and they delight in knowing more and more about God. This is how we're to study the splendor and the magnificence and the wonder of God. Studied to the point that those who are his will know his righteousness endures forever. These are not just words on a page. These define who God is. They define the God who sees us as upright, as righteous. So why wouldn't we praise the Lord? You know, we make fun of the Pentecostals, but one of the things I learned when I was a Pentecostal was how noisy you could actually be. One of the things we've seen in the study of Revelation is there's nothing quiet in heaven. Now, the old joke is that's the Pentecostals and the Presbyterians and Baptists are somewhere off in the closet somewhere. But that's not the way it's to be. We're to be that delighted in what we believe that we wake up and say, praise the Lord. I've often said the one thing I learned from my Pentecostal experience was that there really is a Holy Spirit and that he's alive within us. And yet we're constantly denying he's there by the way we live. The Spirit gives us this understanding that's talked about here. He's caused wondrous works to be remembered. The Spirit enables us to not just understand, but to know the Lord God Almighty. That he is gracious, that he's merciful, he is holy, that he is awesome. We are to live our lives giving thanks with our whole hearts, for this is the God who saved us. This is the God who is saving us. This is the God who will ultimately save us on that last day. Praising the Lord in private and in public brings comfort and hope and enables us to reveal the fear of the Lord within us. And that comes naturally when we know who God is. So the psalmist reminds us that we can praise him for who he is as he is seen in his works. And that brings us to the last section where now we take the moment to praise him for his works in verses 4 through 10. Again, he has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is righteous. Where am I? The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the powers of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Look first, and we focused a little bit on this, but look first at the first work that God does that causes us to praise him. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. He changed our hearts so that we become his. And not only do we remember the details, but we are now understanding why the details are there, what they're about. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. A lot of people take that passage as saying that's just when he was in his ministry, but he kind of spoke to us before he came to earth. That's why when people say, I don't understand the Old Testament, I can understand the New Testament, they really don't know what they're talking about. Spirit enables us to understand what Jesus has always said from time eternal. The Lord is gracious and merciful tells us that David understood that quality about God. He experienced that quality in his own life. And if we know the story of David, we know that that's absolutely true, that God was merciful, that God was all that. Jesus wanted to make sure that we knew and understood. David wanted us to make sure and we knew that. David tells us that God also provides for those who fear him. All through Scripture, we talk about how God is our portion, that God gives us a portion. That's true then, it's true today, and it is true going forward into the future. He is our portion always and forever. He remembers his covenant forever. He has commanded his covenant forever. How long has the covenant grace been around? Forever. Just make sure we get this point. You know, this whole discussion about old covenant and new covenant, that's irrelevant in one sense, in the main sense. The covenant of grace has been with us forever and ever. And he has worked on that one plan from before the beginning of time, and will continue to work on that plan until the consummation. This is the work of God. This is remembering, is keeping his word that was planned, that is being carried out, and will be carried out to the consummation, his covenant of grace. All around us, we see the power of his works. For what can be known about God is plain, because God has shown it to them. For the invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, divine nature, have been and are and will be clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in these things that he has made. So they, and I believe we could probably put in we, are without excuse. Romans 1. And then from Hebrews 11. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. The faith is the inheritance of the nations that's spoken of in our text. The faith. Belief in the one true King. Till all his works are faithful. All his works are true. All his works are trustworthy. All of his works have firmly been established. That is, God's word never changes, but our heart does. Our heart, the heart of his elect, carry out and perform his works with faithfulness and uprightness. Forever and ever, this cycle will continue to be played out over and over again. And it's all the way to the end of the world. That's why as we look into this Advent season, we're looking forward to that second coming of Christ. God has delivered his chosen people many times through the years. And we see each of these pointing to his final deliverance, whether it was kicking Adam and Eve out of the garden, or whether it's his son coming on Christmas morning, that great news of a great joy that the angels talked about. But there's yet one more deliverance, one more act of redemption sent to his people based on the covenant of grace, and that will be his second coming, the work that all works of redemption point to. That work of grace, that work of deliverance points to that. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. For holy and awesome is his name. Practicing, walking, living in the fear of the Lord enables us to want to say, praise the Lord. Enables us to delight in saying, praise the Lord, so that everyone can hear that. We know the Lord, that we delight in performing his will. And those who do this work have a good understanding, he says. All those who practice it have a good understanding. John Calvin put it this way: they are only wise that fear the Lord. None have understanding but they who obey the word. Thus, praising the Lord, giving thanks with a whole heart, is an act of faith, an act of trust in the Heavenly Father. This act of faith is the ultimate work that God does in us through Christ alone, enabling us then to praise his holy name. So responding to God with thanksgiving is always, always a way to praise him. So think about this new way to start your day. The moment you open your eyes tomorrow morning, say, praise the Lord, with a meaningful heart. And then let that phrase infect everything you think and do going forward. For he ends this psalm with this: his praise endures forever. Whether you and I give it or not, he will be praised. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, we are grateful this day for your word that reminds us of who you are, that reminds us of who we say we are by looking and seeing and rejoicing in the works. Father, praise the Lord. Enable us to give thanks to you with our whole heart. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.